Well, what is Moorish man? Not man, Moorish man. We're Moorish Marmon.
Yep.
We're Moorish men, but this is about magazine on RTR. Good morning, listeners. This is Moorish Mag, Jim and Nick.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, listeners. How are we today?
I don't suppose anyone missed me. I was away last week and probably the week before and been gallivanting around the country.
You were missed, Jim. You were missed. We had an interesting show last week, and of course Jodie always fills in admirably with her skill and techniques and interview processes, that thing. But you were definitely missed, Jim.
Yes. This is Moorish Mag on 92.1 RTR FM, and sadly last week, and everyone's been raving about it, Eddie Betts was on the show.
He was, yeah. He apparently done a very good interview from the feedback that I'm getting from our panelists here, Maddie, and very many of the community out there that did listen in.
Right, right. So they're listening in not only on RTR FM but Noongar Radio. So,
yes.
Well, we've got a big guest today, but some news too from our point of view and perspective. The Aboriginal Empowerment Strategy has been launched this week through the state government. It's one of their close the gaps mechanisms or tools to looking forward.
Well, it'll be very interesting to hear that.
Yeah, well, we've got the station printing off some copies for us so we can have a little gander at that and talk about that. And maybe we'll get one of the experts from the West Australian Aboriginal Affairs Council to come on board and have a yarn to us about that. This has been a couple of years in the making.
Well, it's been a long time in the making from me, but I guess I'll wait for us to get the information and get on to that item on air, so they can talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah, Thomas Major will be appearing on the show this morning, author associated with a book called Dear Son, and that's recently been published. It's about a compilation of letters that our leaders around the country have written to their sons. It's about just really empowering them about moving forward and I guess future leaders. So that's something we all should be concerned about in our community, that the leaders won't be around forever, and it's about empowering our young people. But also good news, my own story and my work, we won a national award last night on our Mission Connect.
Again?
We've won a Curtin Award, we've won a state award, and now we've won a national award associated with the program called Mission Connect, and we'll talk some more about that a little later. So a few things to talk about today in the short time that we have here on Moorish Mag, RTR FM. So welcome if you just tuned in. And I know we've got some regular listeners out there who tune in and listen to you, Nick and Jodie. Sometimes
and
listen to
Jim,
me when
course.
I'm around.
You're the lead there, Jim, so they're always listening to you.
So, and of course, we've got some new music which we haven't tried out. That's a bit sad. Got to apologise to the workers here that have done all this music for us on new sounds about the First Nations people around Australia, and we haven't given them the courtesy of listening. So,
well, we just
we'll
don't
do
have
that.
Enough. We just don't have enough hours in the day.
True.
And days in the week.
Mm.
But we'll get there.
Anyway, let's go to a song, and Thomas Major will be appearing a little later. Appearing, it sounds like a TV show. No, he'll be a guest on RTR FM, Moorish Mag. Here's Moorish Mag. Thanks for tuning in and listening in to the deadly sounds of Jim and Nick without Jodie today. Jodie always brings a refreshing to the program of Moorish Marmon and brings a yoga perspective, like as she does, and does it really well.
And a subtle little bit of professionalism as well there, Jim.
Hang on, what are you trying to say, that we're not professional?
No,
hey, come on, that's a slap in the face for us.
I know, but, just the way she brings it. She brings it beautifully. We're good, but she's pretty good too.
She's won awards too, I suppose.
Yes,
we've won
has.
National awards, just like she has, but so we won't tell her that. The Aboriginal Empowerment Strategy, Nick, has been launched this week, 2021 to 2009, so it's a like an 8-year strategy, and it right dead centre of this empowerment strategy is healing. Healing is a key part of the strategy. Aboriginal people have said very clearly that healing is needed for social and economic outcomes to improve. Wow, they've finally seen this government, has finally seen what we've been talking about for hundreds of years. We haven't been around hundreds of years, but it's been that long that we've been traumatised. Healing is about addressing trauma. The healing process allows individuals, families and communities to work through the effects of past and ongoing trauma and reduce its impacts on future generations. In this way, healing forms part of every element of the strategy, from supporting culture to delivering truth-telling to investing in foundations and futures and building Aboriginal empowerment. And I like this tree, the tree structure, as they put it here. So This is developed in partnership with the Aboriginal Advisory Council of Western Australia. The Aboriginal Empowerment Strategy sets the ways the WA government will work with Aboriginal people to create new opportunities and address the impacts of past and ongoing injustices, Nick.
It's lovely, and it's great to hear that, Jim. Wow. I just hope that it's got more substance than another piece of paper.
Because too true.
Over many years, we've read something like this, and it hasn't really transferred back to our grassroots people. But we've always got to live in hope and purpose and try to keep pushing those barriers to lift our living standards for our people.
That's the purpose of informing our listeners here, because they are too empowered now of hearing this. So what is empowerment? Empowerment involves people making decisions about their own lives and getting the support needed to make this happen. So listeners, make sure this happens. You can write to your politicians and be instrumental in your own political party to make sure that the First Nations people of this country, the oldest living culture on the planet, is empowered. It begins with having strong and secure foundations that allow people, families and communities to grow and develop and build their own futures. And as I say, as the oldest living culture on the planet, we need to work together to make a difference. And I like this map.
It's a beautiful one.
Culture at the heart.
Culture's at the heart, Jim.
I think we've been saying that for a while here.
Well, yeah, for me, it's a bit like a broken record that we keep
saying.
Yeah,
we've been saying it until we're blue in the face or black in the face or something.
But, you know, that's where somewhere on the line how our listeners, our community, our government agencies and stuff have got to connect back with that process.
Yep. So, as I say, culture is at the heart, and we've talked about cultural healing for a long time. They took our culture away.
That's right. Outlawed it.
Yeah, they've outlawed it. They chucked us in prison if we spoke our language.
That's right.
Practice our culture. Mm-hmm. You know, when we had to declare that we were citizens in this country, we had to deny our own Aboriginality and couldn't speak our language.
And that's an interesting start that perhaps a lot of Western Australians or even Australians can't understand, is that, you know, we had to deny our Aboriginality, otherwise we come under the 1905 Act and all those other different acts that impacted on our people.
Look, let's go back to culture at the heart, because to the left of that, it's walking together. And stemming from that is eliminating racism and promoting respect for Aboriginal people. And off that, too, is truth-telling.
Truth-telling is very important, Jim.
Off that to the left again is investing in foundations and futures, and off to that is expanding economic opportunities. And you're all about that, even in your tourism bit, and probably doing Welcome to Country this Friday at the Optus Stadium. Are you?
No, Jim. I don't know. That's not part of my schedule at the moment that I'm aware of. But whoever it is, it's lucky because it gives us an opportunity to give other people a connection to our country.
You did so well. It was great to replay it on this radio show. Investing in building strengths, prevention and earlier intervention. That's again, it's off to the left. Now, off to the right of this centrepiece, culture at the heart, and I've talked about healing earlier, supporting and promoting culture.
That's very important.
Strong one that goes off on its own.
When you consider there was laws about us not practising our culture.
That's it. Off there again, building the public sector workforce's cultural security.
And that's an interesting one there about public sector and cultural security, because, you know, we've had these policies, and those policies come along with procedures. Mm. And some of those procedures come practices, and sometimes those practices don't match up commonly. And then, of course, the prejudices kicked into there with who was making those decisions, which have really negatively impacted on our community.
And another little bubble. I mean,
another little bubble.
I shouldn't pronounce these as bubbles. They're a ring, because bubbles burst.
That's right.
Okay, so reshaping government services, like I said, and systems to work with culture. So off to the right again is the big black block, building Aboriginal empowerment into how we work. Now, the circles that come off this, partnership, shared decision-making and engagement.
Very important.
Yep, another circle there, supporting Aboriginal-led solutions and, again, strengthening government accountability. Well, wow, how can we do that?
Well, that government accountability, that's a very important thing that needs to be strengthened. And our community has impacts on that in a negative way because of so many government accountability that's gone by the wane from our point of view. I mean, I can only talk from our point of view.
Yes, that's right. I mean, if you're interested in this, the full strategy is available at wa.gov.au/Aboriginal Empowerment. And for more information, contact the Aboriginal Engagement at DPC. What's DPC?
Some department. Department of...
Ooh, better find that out.
Department of Community Development, or P. How you going there, Jim? You got it?
DPC, Aboriginal Engagement. Oh, is that Premier and Cabinet?
Ah, Premier and Cabinet.
Yeah, I knew it was. I mean, there's been a lot of talk on radio recently about the sports rort and all the rorts from Commonwealth. I guess there isn't any rorts in WA government, so we really can't be critical.
Well, there has been some. I think some high-profile government people have been charged for corruption and stuff recently, and it has impacted on the way we do business today with government agencies and that stuff. And I've seen that through my own business and stuff, that how you have to jump through these hoops and stuff there to make sure that the funds that you're applying for are going to the right things and not off to someone else's personal gain.
Mm. Look, Nick, I'm just reading on now the strategy itself, the strategic overview. And as I say, it's just been launched in... I don't know anything about the launch, but it's been launched electronically. So why the strategy is needed? The current system is not working as effectively or with Aboriginal people as it should. Mm-hmm. Evidence for this can be found in a range of indicators showing that, on average, Aboriginal people have lower levels of health, economic security, social and emotional well-being and educational attainment than other West Australians. This unacceptable situation shows the enormous impacts that West Australians' past continues to have on its present and future. From the earliest days of colonisation, a range of government policies, practices and laws have damaged the foundations of Aboriginal people's independence, prosperity and well-being. Wakey, wakey. The penny dropped. A study in 2018 estimated that approximately one quarter of Aboriginal people over 50 in West Australia have been removed from their families when they were children. We've been saying this for a long time. The same study estimated that approximately one half of all Aboriginal adults in Western Australia are descendants or members of the stolen generations.
Stolen generations. That's when people, children, were forcibly removed from their family and their country.
Stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Theft. On May 28, 1997, the Parliament of West Australia apologised to Aboriginal people on behalf of all West Australians for the past policies under which Aboriginal children were removed from their families and expressed deep regret at the hurt and distress that this caused. The Government of Western Australia remains committed to what was said on that day. We are deeply sorry.
Oh, good. Not good in a sense, but we've heard this so many times. It's about having some practical actions to improve the key indicators that a lot of our community are set on the negative sense, like the education, the crime and the incarceration rates, employment.
Murich Mag here on RTR FM. Yes. We've been talking about the Aboriginal Empowerment Strategy, and the government is deeply sorry about the past policies and procedures. What that's got to amount to, though, proof's in the pudding, compensation.
Is it?
They announced compensation in the Northern Territory and the Australian Capital Territory a couple of weeks ago. You saw that?
I did. And it was interesting because that came from the federal government, and that was where their only jurisdictions and their policies thing was through the territories, wasn't it? So WA, Queensland, South Australia, Victoria.
Yep, they've all had sort of some sort of programs, but WA and Queensland haven't. So anyway, let's not get too carried away with this Aboriginal Empowerment Strategy. I think it's a good thing.
It is.
We've now got some document. Hey, listeners, we've got a document here now that we can wave in front of some of these government people, including the Treasurer, who's making some announcements today.
Is he?
No, not Ben White. He's gone.
No, I knew he was.
He's no longer the Treasurer. Mm-hmm. The Premier, Mark McGowan's now the Treasurer. He's making some announcements this afternoon about the budget.
Oh, good.
So I wonder if this is included.
I would hope so.
I wonder if there's any money associated with this, or is it just wish lists for people to think about
I hope it's not,
waving
Jim.
The air and saying,
I hope it's not, because our people have been fighting for something like this for a long, long, long time. And, you know, I heard out in the community that our people are providing solutions to a lot of the issues, but the system is just not listening and taking it seriously.
Let's just say one more thing before we, and then we'll just shut shut the door on this subject.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Empowerment and self-determination. Aboriginal peoples are the first peoples of Western Australia. The government has obligations to Aboriginal people, both as citizens and as traditional owners of Western Australia, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Empowerment and self-determination are essential for Aboriginal people's well-being. Policy decisions about Aboriginal people cannot be made without Aboriginal people. What's the saying about
without.
That?
Well, for so long we've had that paternalistic model that they know what's best for us.
For decisions with high potential impact or opportunity for Aboriginal people, this means partnership and or shared decision making. For other decisions, it means genuine engagement with affected Aboriginal people at a level proportional to the potential impact of opportunity. Wow. We can read a lot into this.
Mm-hmm,
it means
yes.
it's sounding pretty dinkum. Mm-hmm. The way you read this, Aboriginal people must have the opportunity to engage from an informed perspective. So we need to be informed.
Yes.
With clarity about process, expectations and responsibility.
It leaves us with hope. It leaves us with hope, Jim.
Well, without going on too more, talking to people from mm-hmm. Wangai country this week, they're saying they're not going to take the jab.
Aren't they?
See, mm. I don't think they've had a clear, informed perspective.
I guess so.
And you know what? About all the promotional stuff about COVID-19, it's not culturally safe. You know, it's not given in a way that we understand, so people aren't optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at this as another way of needling us. And you know what they've done in the past is they've prevented our women from having children. Remember that?
Oh, Jim, yes. You hit a sour note there, Jim.
So there's a little bit of work to be done, and I'm pleased that some people in the Territory are making some real good fun about this, even though it's a serious matter.
It is a serious matter. And
They're doing stuff in that's really culturally appropriate. They're having mm-hmm. sort of comic strips made of them and doing stuff themselves about mm-hmm. Captain... What's the word?
Oh, there's a couple other ones that are probably going
to mention. No, that's condom. Yeah, now, this is Captain... What do you do? The sanitising? What's the remedy for the needle? Sanitisation? Captain sanitisation.
Sanitisation?
Look at superhero thing.
Immunisation.
Immunisation. Oh, no, that's Captain something.
Okay.
Anyway.
But anyway, so that's a very good document.
Look, it is.
There,
it is. I'm overwhelmed by this.
And it's great. My only negative stuff is working in this industry for a long, long, long time. I've seen so many of these come out, so glossy work and words and stuff there, but I haven't actually seen the practical stuff to my people on the ground.
That's what I hope for.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of talking to our listeners on RTR-FM, mm. informing them of a serious matter of this, why it's so important for us. And, you know, we're sounding a little bit negative. We're sounding a little bit negative, so we're going to make sure it's a positive light.
It is a positive light. It gives hope. It's just that, you know, as I mentioned, we've heard so many of these before. We just want something practically to happen to our grassroots people and for my community and my family about positive things that gives them hope to get up, want to go to school, get educated and look for a job and that thing and feel part of the community and not be isolated by when they're going out and doing their own business stuff there. They've been shadowed.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say no more about the shadow.
Okay, let's finish off there. Mm-hmm. The full strategy is available, like I said, at the wa.gov.au/Aboriginal Empowerment. And for more information, contact Aboriginal Engagement at DPC. And we decided that's Premier and Cabinet. So there you go. Be empowered and work with us and support us in the spirit of reconciliation, as this radio station does and is. Mm-hmm. By doing a Welcome to Country every morning.
We do, yes.
Yours truly, Nick, is part of that.
And Dr. Richard Wally, it's
and
great.
And Dr. Richard Wally.
It's great that the radio station acknowledges the budget that it works on.
Yep. And, talking and looking at the ABC, they're acknowledging country all the time. So it's great to see. And RTR is, they're way out in front.
You're listening to the Mortich Mag podcast on RTR-FM 92.1.
And we've got Thomas Mayer on the line. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning.
Hey, Thomas, thanks for joining the show, Mortich Mag, here on RTR-FM. award-winning show Nick and I have run over the years, and we're proud of the fact that we've did 4 hours of broadcasting from Optus Stadium, Sorry Day, a couple of years ago, and we pipped the point at NITV and winning the Best News and Current Affair and Program Best New and Current Affair Story. But that's not bad for a couple of old blokes. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, amazing to be with you guys. I think I've been on before.
You probably have, and I've met you face to face at Parliament House when you did the work on the Uluru Statement. Yeah, when you launched your book here in WA.
Yeah, that's right. Finding the Heart of the Nation was my first book, and it's doing well. It explains the Uluru Statement for people, but through the voices of around 20 other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders that I've met along the way.
Good on you, Thomas. Before we go any further, Thomas,
just to refresh our listeners of Thomas Mayer, who you are and who's your mob and where you're from.
Yeah, I'm a Torres Strait Islander, but I live and have always lived on Larrakia country in Darwin.
Okay, welcome to Moorish Mag. Thank you.
Now, we are aware of the book, as I say, the previous book that you wrote, and I was just marvelled that you were able to read off that statement of the heart by memory when you focused in on talking to all these politicians at Parliament House way back then. But today, there's a new publication, Dear Son. Tell us about that. How did that come into being?
Yeah, Thomas? Well, Dear Son is a book of it's letters and reflections from First Nations fathers and sons, and it came to be actually in on Noongar country in Perth. I met with Tara June Winch, who is a Wiradjuri author, who wrote an award-winning book called The Yield, and we were yarning, as you do, talking about our mob, and I was telling her how I have 5 kids that cover a couple of generations, the older kids in their 20s, and younger kids are under 10. And she just said I had a certain nature that would make me perfect for writing a book about fatherhood. And I didn't think that I would do it, but I thought about it. And after a couple of months, I got back to Tara and I said, look, I think I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it in the form of letters from men to their sons and fathers, and that's what I did.
Look, the foreword or the discussion you had, and I read it, and can you read it out as to why you want this collection of letters and reflections? It was just amazing, and I should have brought the book in. I left it on the side of a bed because I was reading it last night. So read that out and how you want to strengthen our community, please.
Yeah, the dedication. Yep.
Yes.
So it goes like this. Dear First Nations men, together we will unlearn what we have been taught in the colonisers' missions, slave camps, prisons, ghettos, and in the Australian media. We will sing our culture, healing the earth, as our grandfathers did for more than 60 millennia. We will love ourselves and our families, and we will return to our rightful place in Australia. We will celebrate who we are, as we have always deserved to do. In unity, Thomas Mayer.
Wow, that's ripping at my heartstrings now, I can tell you. That's beautifully written, beautifully spoken, Thomas. Congratulations. You must be so pleased with the book.
I am. I'm really pleased with the generosity of all of the men that wrote letters in it to their sons and a few to their father, and especially the response from our mob, the communities around Australia, who, a lot of people have, told me or written to me that they think that this is overdue, that we needed something to celebrate our First Nations men, to correct this, to go against the stereotypes, as the dedication says, those things that we have been taught about ourselves, and that can only benefit our communities and our women,
True. Mm-hmm.
No, congratulations again. I keep thinking of the piece there that you've wrote. What do you call that? That's a preamble or a foreword, or I'm not a literary person. What are you calling that?
It's a dedication.
Dedication.
It's at the beginning of the book, and it basically tells the reader, well, this is what and who I wrote it for. So, yeah.
And it's a reminder of Well, as you say, the mission days, the many torturous moments when children were stolen from their communities and off their mother's breasts, and you've even talked about, you know, slavery, and that's happened in various parts of, well, I can't just say various parts. The slavery was all over the place when we worked for less than, you know, flour, sugar and tea, and when 75% of our wages was kept in trust. So a good overview to commence the writing. And many people, how many men have you had write to their sons and fathers?
Well, I've got 12 men that wrote letters in this book. One of them is Daniel Morrison, that many mob will know your way there.
Yes, yes, my son, yes.
Letter.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right, yes. I have
Small world, Thomas.
Yeah, so you're mentioned in his letter.
Yep.
It's a beautiful letter, really, really touching and really important as well, because, you know, Daniel talks about sexuality to his son, but there's all these different lessons, 12 different writers in this book, and 12 very different ways of talking to their fathers and sons, different stories that they share, different lessons, really.
Mm.
And I thought it was important also in this book, and I write in the introduction how, you know, men are the main perpetrators of gender violence, and, you know, while it's not an Aboriginal issue, and that's important, that's a stereotype that we push against, but as men, we needed to talk about calling it out, and that's what else we've done in this book.
Mm. So you only launched it back in May, I see, 11th of May, or was that that's when the first preview was done, I guess, Cry Wolf, NITV, so I see that. So you've launched it a couple of months back?
I only launched it last week, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, 1st of September. And so it's pretty new, and it's on bookshelves everywhere. Support your local bookshops. You can also order it online if that's easier for you. All of the online bookstores.
Okay, well, we're going to plug it today. Thank you very much for appearing on the show. So it's done reasonably well, and you've been interviewed like crazy. You've got a few interviews today, I understand, from your publicists. So a few more talks to media.
Yeah, a few more. Well, you know, we got to mm-hmm. let people know that this book exists. I think it's so important for our confidence as men. I mean, the other thing is that we're taught in the schools, you know, in my generation and yours, no doubt, our forefathers were savages and unintelligent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that the white kids in the class were taught that their forefathers were explorers and scientists and all these wonderful things. So, you know, it's time we turn that around and celebrate what First Nations men have achieved as the oldest living, you know, continuing culture on the planet. That's got to be worth something, and there's a lot about who we are and what we can become.
Too right there, Thomas. That's great, you know, and that's when I think a lot of people today forget about the impacts of colonisation and how it had on our people, especially our men when they started to take them out of the communities. And, you know, our community is still suffering from that today.
That's right, and that was, I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. That was a, you know, that was a program. It was a tactic to disempower First Nations men to be able to take advantage of our women and our country and to enslave us and all of those things. And, you know, we need to find our rightful place again.
That's right.
Be proud.
Thomas, again, congratulations for doing a great job on promoting the issues that our First Nations people across the country face, and an amazing compilation of letters to their sons. So I really appreciate your time today and taking you out of your busy schedule. So thanks for being on the show, Thomas.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Thomas, and I look forward to reading the book too.
Yeah. So, dear son, First Nations fathers pen heartfelt letters to family in forthcoming anthology. So it was released on the 1st of September. So Stan Grant, we'd all know him.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Troy Cassidaly, singer, country singer, won many, many golden guitars. Jack Lattimore are among the contributors whose letters grapple with racism and identity and present an honest picture of the struggles First Nations men face. So, dear son, as letters penned by First Nation aims to honestly address issues facing young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men and to break poisonous cycles. Whoa! Author Thomas Mayer, a Torres Strait Islander that we just had on the show, writes to his son, his 20-year-old son, Tinoy Mayer. I teach him about intergenerational trauma and some of my poor behaviour as a young man. Oh, I wanted him to know how these things are passed on and how we can improve with empathy, perspective and a background for why people behave the way they do.
Yes.
Oh, so you want to know the truth, some of the truth from a men's perspective, First Nation men's perspective. It's called Dear Sons, and yeah, good little read, and yeah, I guess you'll need to have your tissues handy.
I guess you would there, Jim, and it's interesting that, you know, the environment that our great-great-grandfathers would have seen in the colonial days were all about brutality and that stuff. That wouldn't have been something that they would have experienced much, but over generations it seemed to be a normal process, and it still happens today in our community that we've been oppressed by people.
Yeah, but he goes on to say the book touches on issues like domestic violence.
Yes.
I should have let him say this.
True.
Coercive control.
Yes.
And toxic masculinity, which Mr. Mayer says men are responsible for. These issues don't discriminate, but Australia has made it seem like it is an Indigenous problem. Wow.
Wow.
Now you're talking. So it is a gender issue, not a black issue. We have been addressing these issues as Indigenous men for a long time, and given the huge damage and intergenerational trauma being inflicted upon us, we'll still have a long way to go. Good on you, Thomas. That's a great expression. Great expression. And yeah, look, I'd encourage you to read it. Dear Sons, look out for it. I think Mugabella Books, were they in?
I'm not sure
who the printer was, but there you go. So this is Morning Mag, Nick and Jim, talking about an amazing issue here. And it grabs your heart and just,
You're listening to the Mortich Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
If you're listening to RTRFM today on Mortich Mag, you're getting hammered, aren't you? It's all about culture today. It's about some wonderful music, and there you are, language from, it could be anywhere, any one of the 250 languages that was spoken on this country, and NT, was it?
I think so. Wok, wok, gingy.
There you go.
Beautiful sound.
And hearing some truth about Dear Sons and Thomas Mayer on the show earlier, truth-telling, which really is important, because when you're writing to your sons, it's almost like educating the younger population. And what we're talking about here is you probably wouldn't hear mainstream. You wouldn't hear in the schools, because sadly the schools aren't sort of well advanced enough to be telling the truth around what is Aboriginal history and the many, many generations BC before Cook.
Well, it was interesting what Thomas spoke about, that, you know, the our Aboriginal men were savages.
They would
And that was going in my time as well, whereas the others were all adventurers and pioneers and new grounds and that stuff. But, you know, the bottom line was that they were basically stealing our land and our culture.
Well,
that's
wonderful.
The truth, Jim.
Yeah. Oh, true. Wonderful psychologist on the East, and her name escapes me now. I'll come back to him in a minute. But what she writes in her book, Trauma Trails, is that in the first generation of colonisation, and listeners have probably heard this before, in the first generation of colonisation, they kill our men and boys.
Mm-hmm.
Second generation of colonisation, they take advantage of our women because there's no men and boys. Yes. Third generation of colonisation, they take the children away. Yep, I thought I'd remember her name now, but a wonderful Bunyalung psychologist on the East Coast that has written that. Check out the book Trauma Trails, because it's what we've been talking about today, culture at the heart, how we need to empower our people and be strong in revitalising our land,
and
culture,
I think,
language.
Yes.
Yep.
And I think, Jim, what we talk about here is not about blame or shame, but it's about understanding from all parts of society and cultures and community around there, that, you know, some of the things that have really impacted on our lives in a negative way. And I must acknowledge and admit that a lot of our people are doing well. But there's that majority of people that's why we have to have that Closing the Gap report every night. That's why we have to have the self-determination process because of that, you know, that analogy of the great Australian saying of a fair go, mate. Well,
yep. So Close the Gap, you mentioned again, acknowledgement of country is part of that, but working together to make a difference. And the Aboriginal Empowerment Strategy is the WA government's Close the Gap strategy. But talking about Captain Cook, you know, we don't want to be blaming.
No, can't.
Let's blame Captain Cook, eh?
Let's just acknowledge
a bit of calmery. He got what he deserved in some.
Let's just acknowledge to understand that, you know, from past, we can learn from all that stuff. And if we want to still continue to close our eyes and put our blinkers on, and think that you know, that we don't exist and we've been wiped out, as what Native Title Process is trying to do, it's wrong. And we're still the oldest living culture in the world, and this community has to acknowledge and accept and recognise that.
Yeah. Well, very good. And thanks to Keith, we now know the author, Judith Atkinson, Trauma Trails.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
It must be, is it senility or that dementia perhaps?
Oh, it's probably your knee from coming up them stairs.
It takes all the energy out of you. So Judith Atkinson, thanks to our listener there, Keith. So this is RTR FM, Woodich Mag, going out to many listeners here on RTR FM and Noongar Radio.
Noongar Radio, yes.
Yeah, this is RTR FM, Jim and Nick, winding down now, and we've been talking about the Aboriginal Empowerment Strategy. I guess we won't be talking about that again for the rest of the show, but we will get some specialist person to come on show sometime in the future.
But the key thing there is walking together to make a difference. Yeah. So that means all of us walking together, not walking in different directions, walking together as a community, as people of the Whadjuk region. That's the non-Aboriginal and Aboriginal as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And West Australians.
Yep, and that's the beauty of a show like RTR FM on Woodich Mag. God, how long have we been walking up those stairs, Nick?
A little while now, Jim. Knee's getting a bit better.
Who's counting?
No one counts. We can't count, otherwise we'd be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Right, on the rock, and just a reminder too that we've been talking to Thomas Mayer with his book called Dear Son. So get out there and purchase that and support our show, support the guests we have on this show, because that's the way things will change.
And I'd have to read that book, Jim, because it's you know, letters from fathers to sons and vice versa, that you know, men aren't supposed to show their compassionate side. I'm just curious to read this letter and see the writings of how the fathers can show their compassion to their sons.
You're right. I don't think it should stop there.
No, it shouldn't.
I think far too often we're sort of all caught up in the moment, and we and sure, that's not to say we're good fathers and good grandfathers, but you know, there is that time to be, you know, show a little compassion, emotion and on what's happening in the real world, because it's more and more important now in this, you know, pandemic that's really restricting movement. It's restricting the way football's played. I mean, football, AFL's not played right at the moment. It's just not played right.
I guess you're
That's another story.
That's another story.
I mean, our teams don't have a home ground advantage anymore because they're playing all over the shop.
True.
And, you know, even the rugby's impacted on too, you know, and how discriminatory we are against women.
True.
In this real world of what is happening with COVID. And I think that's a shame, but that's another story. COVID is impacting on a lot of our people. I was going to talk about the Mount Margaret Mission centenary next year, but we'll be talking some more about that. Mount Margaret Mission, it was a notorious mission, like more of a native settlement in the south, and what that's going to bring for Wangai or Aboriginal people in the goldfields. So we'll talk some more about that next week. Like I said, I wanted to talk about that today. Also, we should say that the Rowlands Festival on Sunday has been cancelled due to weather. If you were planning on going down to Rowlands Mission down near in between Collie and Bunbury, don't go, because it has been cancelled due to inclement weather, and they'll be putting that back on later on in the year. Thanks for listening in.
See you next week, Jim.
Bye.
See you, listeners.
Good night.